Coming up on TMS, geez, Vegas, take it easy.
Best driver or worst driver?
Pancakes in the street just taste better.
Bigfoot crashed my car.
Nice excuse. Maybe somebody should have told them.
Adele Air is expensive.
Major spoilers.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
It's late at night. You're feeling right. Working at your PC. Yo, your face turns green because the word on the screen is you're out of memory.
Oh, no.
Give me five.
Give me five.
Give me five.
Give me five.
Upgrade to MS-DOS 5. Make DOS applications come alive.
Occam's razor, Thor's hammer, who gives a shit?
This is the Morning Stream. Exercising demons since 20...
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Morning Stream for Monday, March 27th, 2017. I'm Scott Johnson, joined by and with Brian Ibbett.
Hi, Brian. Hello.
How are you? What's going on with you? How are you?
Oh, you know, just coming off a weekend.
Yeah?
And that's what it was. It was a weekend.
Yeah, we have those. That's what we have in between these podcasts, these TMS podcasts, is we have weekends.
It goes like this. TMS, 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 TMS.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Thursday.
Yeah.
Then weekend.
Then weekend. And we have a little film sack in there. But other than that, we don't really see each other much on the weekends.
You don't.
It's just how it is. It's how it goes. Hey, I'm a little worried. So you and I are in a couple weeks or so are going to be in Vegas about the same time. At least one of our days will cross over. And you're doing your all-nighter weirdness. And I'm just normal, sleeping in hotels and things.
I know, but I'm going to see... Knowing that it's you and Kim and no kids, I'm going to see how long we can keep you out. And I think we can keep you out for a while with the promise of things like, you know, video game Vegas-y crossover goodness and Taco Bell Cantina at 1 in the morning for fourth meal or fifth meal or whatever meal we're on at that point.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm pretty good at I'm pretty good at the whole turning in
conversation. I know, but...
We'll see.
Kim isn't. Kim is good at...
Kim likes to stay out all night stuff. You're right about that. Exactly. Well, it depends. When she's here, she's not so much. But when we're out, yeah, she likes to go a little nuts. But I'm a little worried, a little concerned. Because over the last, 4 or 5 days, there have been, these horrible things in Vegas. Like, right on the strip. What's going on, Vegas? What's your deal? There was a guy who went into the Bellagio. Happened. He was wearing a pig mask.
It was a couple guys, wasn't it? Like all in Animal Mask, three guys.
Yeah, it was like that movie. What's the movie with Brody? Whoa, Brody.
No, well, like the presidents. You mean Point Break?
Yeah, like Point Break, except it was pig faces.
There was one that did have animal masks recently, and I'm trying to remember what it was. But it was.
Was it also Vegas?
The town.
Was it? Oh, the town. You're right. Yeah. No, you're right. The town did that. That's the Ben Affleck directed deal there.
Right.
So the Bellagio, one of the fancy places, you know, big fancy Bellagio hotel, a group of burglars, at least one of whom was seen wearing a pig mask and wielding a sledgehammer. Sounds like a Mario boss or something, doesn't it? Jeez. Says he broke into he broke into the Rolex store, and I've been to that Rolex store, right there.
Yeah.
Inside of the legendary Las Vegas casino early Saturday. Is it really legendary? The Bellagio, would you call it legendary?
I'd say it's, I don't know. I mean, it's such a...
it's just a nice one, and it's
iconic.
Modern.
Iconic. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was one of the first hotels in that time period as it was being built to buck the whole theme trend, because it was came out right, a little bit after the Luxor and Excalibur and all these ones that were just like, all right, we're going to play up this theme. And Bellagio has somewhat of a theme. It's Italian opulence, basically.
Yeah, fancy art and
right, exactly. That. But it's not really a theme as much as it's just a we're rich and let's show you how rich we are. And Steve Wynn used to own me, and I'll be all pretty and.
Oh, it doesn't own him now, though. Is it part of the MGM deal? The
it group? Is. Yeah, it's still part of the MGM set of properties.
So it's 18 years old. It was launched October, or it was opened October 15th, 1998. I just don't know if I'd call it legendary yet. I think they need to give it some time.
I think legendary, if you want legendary Vegas, I think you go downtown, right? Binion's Horseshoe, I'd say, is legendary.
Yeah, or the Golden Nugget. Yeah, Golden Nugget. All that Fremont Street stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, that's legendary.
Circus sadly is probably more legendary than Bellagio.
Not necessarily in the way you'd want, but yes, more legendary for sure. So anyway, they had this robbery and it was kind of gnarly and it was armed. There were dudes with guns and everything. Mm-hmm. And then some dude in a bus like 3 days ago, or is it yesterday or something, shot
Saturday. So Friday was the robbery and is that right? And Saturday was the shooting. I guess the robbery was early Saturday morning. The shooting was later Saturday.
Yeah, and they shut down the strip.
So hotels, they basically made people go into hotels.
Yeah.
And the hotels kind of locked their doors. And so, and basically it's kind of like, those people who are walking around, oh my God, we got to go into the hotel and stay in there. It's like, okay, that's one thing. But then you've got the 95% of all of the people who are gambling who probably barely looked up from their Willy Wonka slot machine to realize there was something going on and then just went back to hitting those buttons with a glazed look on their face.
No, they don't give a shit. Are you kidding me? They're deep into it. They're making the money. They're making scratch. They don't care.
Yeah, they are. Exactly.
But slow down, Vegas. Slow your roll. Let's just be...
This stuff happens everywhere. Scott, Tina and I were talking about this weekend. Somebody said, you're going to Vegas and all this stuff is happening. It's like, you know what? This happens everywhere. Look at the terrorist attacks in Sweden. Look at the Bowling Green.
Yeah, look at those. Those are things that never happen. Also, wait, what about the... So, okay, I've been to parts of Vegas where I'm surprised when crime isn't happening there, right? Because it's, it's so bad. Right. But the strip in the nice area of the strip, that's a rare deal. Like, that's a weird thing, especially in a very public place.
Is nuts. And I don't know if you've ever tried to drive on the strip, but a getaway car is, you're stuck behind a porn billboard and a bachelorette party with all the ladies sticking out of the top of the sunroof of the limousine. You're going to be out there for a while.
I was out there so long once. Last trip I was there, I was out there so long once, I had to get out of the car mid-strip, go into the Venetian and pee because I had to pee so bad. Like, that's how long you're in traffic in that area there. So,
Scott, and your teeny tiny little bladder.
My little bladder. Wee little bladder.
But, if you really think about it, no one's breaking in. No one's going to be plugging into the circus wearing animal masks to rip off the your name on a grain of rice kiosk.
No. In fact, if they did, I'd be mad because they should be wearing clown masks. I mean, come on.
That would be the place to do it, right? Sure. Oh my God, they'd blend right in.
But it just seems like a big security-ridden place like the Bellagio. Middle of the day, mind you. Like a busy, regular, the place it's not like it's empty. It's not like there's a perfect time to rob it. In fact, I'm sure on the Vegas Strip, there's no perfect time to rob anything. So maybe they pick daytime because it's faster, but man, what kind of CSI episode was this? It's just nuts over there. So anyway,
CSI Ocean's 11 combo right there.
The way I look at it is this. The Taco Bell you want to go to the most is the one that just had food poisoning and was shut down. That's the one you want to go to right after it reopens. And the same is true here. The Vegas Strip you want to go to is the one that just had a rash of crime because there's not going to be a bunch right after that. Security will be at an all-time high, you know. And so you'll be fine. Everything will be fine.
And this happens everywhere. There's nothing Vegas specific about this. They could have robbed a Rolex shop in Manhattan or in Beverly Hills or something like that. It's
weird how it made all the news stuff, though. A lot of coverage for it. Isn't that a little weird? A little weird.
Well, it's weird because it's big crime that doesn't happen in a city that's known for big crime. You get a lot of little crime and stuff in Vegas, like people in jack-in-the-box stalls and stuff like that.
Yeah, putting heroin in their veins, sure.
But you don't get any Ocean's 11 type crap like this,
Yeah, that's true. That's all I can think of with the robbery. I mean, the bus thing was just awful and that guy sucks.
That's just horrible,
But I don't go in buses. You know how I am about public transit, so forget it. I won't be in that bus. Everything will be fine. It's all about me, really, in the end. It's all about me.
Right.
So anyway, Vegas listeners, be careful, and Vegas people going there, hey, be careful. We'll be careful when we go, and whatever. It'll be fun. Mm-hmm. It'll be fun.
And we'll see you there. Yeah. We'll see you there in 2 weeks, right? Oh, my God. 2 weeks? Yeah,
2 weeks? Two and a half weeks? Tomorrow. 2 weeks from tomorrow. You're right.
Yep. Something I better like that. Start getting on the ball and reserving our bays at the at Topgolf so we can get a couple bays right next to each other. And that's the meetup. That's the meetup spot.
I keep forgetting that's the meetup. That's right. Thursday night. The Top Golf.
Tuesday night.
That's what I meant. Tuesday night. My timing's all whacked up. I don't know what day anything is, honestly. Everything's weird. I'm supposed to have a family reunion this year. I don't know when it is. It's sometime in July. maybe the week after Nerdtacular. It might be a month after that.
Geez.
I don't know. I think it's while Wendy's here, I think. I don't know. Who knows? It's all going to suck. I mean, no offense, family, but those things are hard. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know what's happening. BlizzCon's in November. That's a thing. Looking forward to that.
That'll be fun. Tickets going on sale for that shortly, too. So that'll determine whether or not I go to BlizzCon.
April 8th, 3rd?
April 5th and 8th are 8th. The two sessions.
Yeah, that's a weird split. I guess it's just a week apart. That makes sense. They did it last
3 days, yeah.
Anyway, that's all coming up. Oh, and I have some cool news about that, but I don't know. I can't confirm it until we get a little closer. But I have some cool BlizzCon news for everybody. So Johnson pulled.
Johnson pulled right there.
Final couple of days before you get the Film Fest for this month over with. It is the 28th is a final day. That's tomorrow. So you really got today and tomorrow. We'll take them throughout tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And
end of day tomorrow.
Yeah, end of day. And it's food mashups. So you take a cue from things like the Naked Chicken Chalupa or whatever, and you think, what other kind of weird fast food mashups would make sense? And then you film that, and then extra points for those who eat it. That's what we're doing. So send those in. You got 1 day left, really, a day and a half to get that done. And I honestly, a cell phone and a quick stop at Arby's and McDonald's would get you what you need.
Exactly. You can do this in seconds.
Yep. 30-second film festival right here on TMS. We do it every month. Big prize package coming your way if you are the winner. And Brian and I will pick those and announce those on Wednesday. Maybe Thursday. Wednesday?
Thursday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We give it a day or so to percolate, right? We let it settle
in. Exactly. Let everything simmer.
Uh-huh. Decide if it's any good or not, and then kick it out.
Plus, we need that extra time just to remind ourselves to go look at all the videos.
Truth. Okay. Yeah. So there's that. And Brian, I want to hear your driving story. What happened?
Sure. We were on our way downtown to go see the Mammoth game on Saturday night.
Yep.
And crazy neighbor was driving. I'm in the passenger seat and I look over at this car that is right next to us. And it's a guy in like a little Subaru sedan kind of thing. And he's got somebody in the passenger seat, but in his lap is a Chihuahua.
Oh boy.
No big deal. I mean, I see people driving with dogs in their laps all the time. I don't think it's the safest thing in the world, but he's also in the process of eating while this dog is in his lap. Right. And he's eating something out of a plastic to-go tray, like one of those clear plastic to-go boxes.
Yeah.
And eating it with a fork. So one hand is holding the tray.
Yeah.
One hand holding the fork. Dog in his lap. And he's going 65 miles an hour.
Oh, my gosh. Wait, no. So what part of him was holding the wheel?
I don't know.
Oh my gosh! Know. Had a little his wiener. Was he keeping it with steering it with his wiener?
I don't know. I mean, it could have been, you know, kind of the leg steering kind of situation. But I guess you can't do that and hit the pedals or be ready to hit the pedals.
That's bad.
Holy crap! And I told Tina, I was like, God, if I could have just gotten my camera out and gotten a photo of this guy, I would have loved to like put this on the web and say, check out this awesome driver.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, for my first impression when you said the dog was, I'm worried about the dog because if you ever got in a fender bender, those airbags will deploy and you'll kill that dog.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But it's worse now because he's not even holding on. I mean, I'll bet what he's doing is kind of finger holding, like pinky holding the
wheel. Whatever's holding the plate of food or the to-go box full of food is probably holding via one finger holding the steering wheel.
Yeah. Here's my advice to that guy. Put the dog somewhere else.
Right.
Put the food down and drive like a normal human being.
Exactly. I mean, come on. You've got somebody in the passenger seat. Surely they can take some of the load here. Maybe they can hold it for you and feed you.
Yeah.
You put both hands on the wheel and they'll put food in your mouth with your fork.
I don't get it. Every once in a while, I'll see something on the road, and I'll think, oh, we've all heard the stories. We all know what we need to do. We all know what the death rates are in cars and stuff. And then I'll see some lady having a full blown WhatsApp conversation with her friend, and looking at her phone the entire time she's moving through an intersection. And I just go, "Are you kidding me? Are we really this bad at this? Or can we not wait?
Periscoping.
Look at this. I'm driving. And people get mad at me when I'm in the passenger side filming something. I've had people go, I can't believe you're filming and driving. No, I don't live in Europe. The steering wheel's over there. Kim's on it. She's driving. Let's keep it all straight. So I know people know because they're already oversensitive about it. How people do this, I don't know. Sometimes I'll honk. Like if I see a lady doing it, it's not always a lady, all right? It's dudes too. But I'll see a lady typing on her phone and I was going, meep, 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 meep. And she'll look at me and make a face like, I'm the problem.
You just want her to have to answer on the phone, and somebody says, "What's that?" And she says, "Oh, some guy honked me." Wait, you're on the road? We're having this conversation while you're driving?
Yeah, but they don't even know.
They don't even. Like, the person on the other end is probably driving as well.
At least hands free. Hey, what's going on? Oh my gosh!
Because we know that for them to be doing this, they have to have vocal fry.
Yeah, not only just vocal fry, just like vocal hellhole, like the worst vocal everything. Like they're just petty, and all they're thinking about is stupid shit, like their nails and stuff. Like that's what that is, and it drives me crazy. So be careful, everybody. Don't be doing that. And there's somebody listening right now who's like, "Oh shoot, I did that the other day." Don't do that. It's bad. Try hard not to do that.
Get where you're going, then eat.
Yeah.
Or get where you're going, then cuddle with your dog.
We did it for 100 years before these phones. We can keep that. It's fine. And we've got other safety precautions now. We have mandatory seatbelts and airbags and all kinds of things that keep you alive. Take advantage of those things without mitigating it by opening your phone, you dumbasses. All right,
it's
PSA
just the way
over.
We've been trained life-wise, right? I mean, we have so much going on in front of us with entertainment and multiple screens. And while you're looking at your computer, you've also got an iPad, you've got a phone out, and you're doing things on each one of them, that when you're driving, it feels like, God, I should be doing something else.
Yeah.
Driving is not enough visual stimulus for me. I must have something else going on.
That seems so bad as a human race that we're doing that. So there's our PSA. Enjoy it. The more you know.
Now knock it off.
Now cut it out. And quit littering. That's the other thing I want to say real quick. Now that since we're complaining a little bit about societal norms, sure. I'm going to complain about this.
This is old man rant time here.
Big time.
On TMS.
Big time. I'm out with the dog this morning. Me and Jim Rayner, the female dog, out for a nice walk. It's a little rainy, a little moist outside. Mm-hmm. She needs to take a big dump, so that's why we're out there. And we're walking around the park, and it's probably like a half-hour walk or something. Enjoying myself, listening to a podcast. And I noticed that on the side of the road, speaking of Taco Bell, some kid, I assume kid, left a bag of half-eaten Taco Bell, the cups and everything, just laying on the grass on the side of the sidewalk. Just laying there. Now, it would be one thing if there was no garbage can in sight, but there's one literally 10 steps away from where they left it, and it's empty, so it's not like it was full. There are no excuses. It was just laying there. And I thought, well, all right, I can complain, but I also can do something about it, so I'm just going to pick it up and throw it away. So I picked all this up. Rainer went crazy because she wanted to eat whatever it was.
I'm sure, yeah. There's a half-eaten chalupa in there.
Yeah. It's like one of those, what do you call those things that are like a wrapped...
French wrap supreme.
Yes, those things. That's what one of them was. It's like a half-eaten one of those. And I was not tempted at all. But I went over to the can, threw it all out, kept walking, noticed, oh, great, here's a Coke can. Here's a beer can. Here's another wrapper for something. Here's somebody's Slurpee that's like schmurped all over the place. Like, I don't know if it was just because I was noticing it, but it seems like something happened over this weekend where everybody's trash ended up on the street. And it just pissed me off to no end. So all I'm saying is, pick up your damn trash. Like, it's no big deal. It's the trash cans are right there. I live in an area in a neighborhood where we have dog poop drop-offs. We have trash cans that are near those. Like, there's no excuse not to take your stuff and put it where it's supposed to be. And I don't care if you're 16 in a butthole. Freaking pick it up.
Exactly.
Well, I picked it all up.
Kind of wish your superpower was to be able to instantly teleport their trash into their pants wherever they currently are. Just like have it magically appear, boom, in the back of their pants.
Yeah.
Right. All squishy and
I would love that.
Chalupa and Crunchwrap Supreme.
Yeah, I'd love that.
It's my mutant power. My mutant power, which...
Well, that's better than... still better than Jubilee, though. Still better than Jubilee, that power that you're talking about.
It really is, yeah.
It doesn't matter what your power... Yeah. You could say, what's your superpower? Oh, mine is to have my nipples explode in a crusty shower of blood and pus. And you'd say, oh, well, that's still better than Jubilee. Well,
at least you're not shooting fireworks wearing a yellow rain slicker.
Yeah. What's your power? I can poke myself in the eye. Oh, that's so much better than Jubilee. Like, that's just the way it is. Jubilee, the poor thing. Anyway, the more you know. All right. Hey, let's talk about Star Wars costumes exhibits. I wish there was one here, but you had one at the Denver Art Museum, and I'm jealous because that sounds rad. You had a good weekend. You did some fun stuff,
We had a great weekend. Went to the Mammoth game, went out to dinner with Crazy Neighbors on Friday night, did the thing yesterday, the costume exhibit. Yeah, so it's a Star Wars costume exhibit. It's about 20 exhibit, big glass exhibit displays with multiple costumes in there. with actual costumes, you know, designed by, oh, I can't remember her name, but the woman who designed most of the costumes for Return of the Jedi and the prequels, and then some stuff from Star Wars. You had a big old Darth Vader, and you had Han Solo and Chewbacca and Yoda, and basically everybody.
Love that stuff.
Stormtroopers, so you could compare the original trilogy Stormtroopers with the First Order Stormtroopers.
And these were full-size replica stuff,
right? Total full-size. Okay. I have some photos I'll put up on Facebook or Twitter today.
Love that.
But just amazing. And you got this little wand thing, like they have at art museums, where you can walk around and you punch in the button on the card next to the piece you're looking at, and it gives you a description of the piece that you're looking at. And you just hold it up to your ear. And there's your Stormtrooper. Oh, geez, what are you doing? What's he doing to you?
He's got a little bit of I shouldn't have him like that. I wish he was full size. I mean, I like him and everything, and he's cool. He says things if you push his little chest. I sound like putty. Anyway,
so
much cooler thing to see a full size live one at your cool thing. Anyway, so you push a button, you get a deal.
You push a button, you listen to the sound one, and you hold it up to your ear, and you can just go through the whole exhibit and not have to worry about, oh, there's people standing in front of the little card that describes what I'm looking at. Mm. You just put this up to your ear, and it says, you're looking at the designs used for Queen Amidala's royal costume, and da-da-da-da-da. Wow. This was turned into this, da-da-da-da-da. And there was a lot of episode 1, 2, and 3 stuff in there because of the intricacy of the costume design.
Was it really like a British-y voice, like the announcer
voice? Yeah, there was. The narrator did have a little bit of a British voice.
That's really cool.
And spoke, it wasn't quite as Richard Attenborough as I was doing, but it was very slow and precise. See, Anthony Daniels wore this C-3PO costume. The knees wouldn't bend, so they had to lower him on a plank and give him water between takes.
Here we see Samuel L. Jackson's purple sword, made of light.
Oh, I'd love that if he did that. That'd be amazing. Is this a traveling exhibit, or is it only there?
It is a traveling exhibit, so it might be coming through Utah at some point.
Yeah, there's some. I'm having some recollection of hearing about some that was maybe coming here that was Star Wars related. Maybe this is it. That would be amazing. I would like to go.
Yeah.
All right.
But it's called The Power of Costume. Star Wars, The Power of Costume. It's here in Colorado through April 9th. It's been extended. And it is a Smithsonian traveling exhibit. So let's see if there's an itinerary that talks about where it's going to be.
Smithsonian.
Oh, yeah. Wow. They had a Boba Fett and a Jango Fett right next to each other you could check out.
Do you have any big ships? No,
it's all costume.
Okay. I was wondering if it was like a big cross-section of a TIE fighter or something.
You did have Princess Leia's slave girl costume.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Was it in a, was it like a Cincinnati, was it just that? A costume, or is it on a mannequin, or how'd they do that?
They're all on mannequins.
Oh, okay.
All right. So it's funny. You get Han Solo's full outfit, and then you just have blank Han Solo head. The only mannequin that was kind of decorated was the one for Darth Maul, and it had like the Darth Maul facial tattoo print on it.
Oh, but the other stuff's just like a shopping mall with a mannequin underneath the clothes. That's all. It's just a normal thing. Okay. That's
yeah.
Cool.
If you're anywhere near Cincinnati,
yeah,
it's going to be there from May 25th to October 2017. Oh. So,
geez,
definitely go check that one out.
Oh, I really want to see that. Yeah, sad
and
it's
then
not
St.
here.
Petersburg, Florida. After that,
all right. Well, there you go. Star Wars making its way, downtown, going fast. Something do 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 do.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what I meant to say. All right. Hey, what's up, everybody? We're going to do a little Daryl time, and that involves calling him on a thing. And, you know, I don't know if this is going to work. Sometimes this does. Sometimes it doesn't. What are you going to do? We're going to give it a shot. If it works, great. We'll bring him in. If it doesn't, what are you going to do? Oh, my wife just sent me a nice little text.
My wife.
She says, I love you. I hope you're having a great day.
Aww.
I love you too, honey. Stay safe. No, I didn't say that. Don't go to Vegas. All right. Let's get Daryl all up in this. And he's here. So this is easy. Let's play a little theme song. Well, that was faster than I thought it was going to be. So here you go. Right here. Daryl Scales is here for our Monday edition of Stump Daryl. Daryl, what's going on?
Oh, hello.
Oh, hi. I see your Post-it note again today. Very nice.
Yes. Yeah. The yellow, lovely yellow.
It's a lovely yellow. It's a yellow I enjoy. Daryl comes on the show Mondays and Wednesdays, and we do a little stumping of him. It's fun little trivia time, and we always look forward to it. I noticed that Spock, well, it would have been Leonard Nimoy's birthday yesterday. And it reminded me of when you used to do, well, it still was, but you used to do lots of like birthday stuff here on the show. And that would have been one you'd do had the year been 2012 or so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, happy birthday to the recently departed Leonard Nimoy. There's a great picture that Shatner posted on Twitter of him hugging him. It says he misses his dear friend. And then he said, I still hate Sulu. And then that was it. That was how that went. Oh, that's weird. Why is my phone ringing? You guys hear that?
No.
Listen.
You must have it on. Oh, you're here.
That sounds like Skype.
That's Skype, yeah.
Why would my phone be ringing Skype? You know what? F my phone.
That'll teach it.
Yeah, piece of crap. All right. Anyway, hey, it's Stump Daryl time. That's where we do a little Daryl stumpage. And we have people call in and get stumped. So we're going to try that right now with this number. Someone just called in. Let's see who this is. Hi, you're on the air. Welcome. Who's this?
Hey, this is Max in Georgia.
Hello, Max in Georgia. Maximum Georgia on the phone. How's it going?
Yeah. Hey, good. I'm hoping to have better luck than I did last week when we got cut off.
Yeah, that's right. We lost you immediately.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, you're the Max. I'm glad you're back because that was a bummer.
That is a bummer.
Although he got a little extra something, didn't he? Didn't we send him a little something?
He didn't. No, he had the chance
of
winning.
No, the guy that ended up playing lost.
Oh, he lost. That's right.
He was going to get a copy of The Last Dragon DVD, and what I'll do is I'll even give you the choice. If you win today, I'll give you the choice of what I have on tap for you as a prize, or you can trade it for a Last Dragon DVD, because I do still have one more copy.
Nice.
By the way, what part of Georgia are you from? Smyrna? Buckhead? Atlanta?
And Athens?
No, I'm in the very southern part, almost in Florida.
Oh, all right. Okay. What's your town called?
Valdosta.
Oh,
right
all right.
On I-75, just about 10 miles north of the Florida line.
How many, what's the population, roughly?
Population in Valdosta, oh God, I should know this. Probably about 50,000.
See, that's awesome. I love tiny towns. I like a small town. 50,000 people's enough to make a town and have all the essential services you need, but small enough to be kind of small town USA. I'm a big fan of that. I have always been, here's my thing. When I retire, which probably never happened, but if I did, I want one of two extremes. I want way out in the nowhere, or I want top of a huge building in the middle of a very busy city.
Ugh.
I want one or the other. I don't want any
Neither
in between.
One of those sounds good to me. Why can't there be a middle ground?
Well, there can be, but I want one of those extremes. Those are the two I want. I want a loft apartment I want downtown Chicago loft apartment, or some little house way out in the middle of nowhere where I can go grow some beans, you know? I don't know why.
I don't know why, like, suburb just sounds so much better to me than that. Like, nice, calm suburb, can get to the city in about 10 minutes, but I can escape from the city when I want to, but I'm also not so far out that it's like, all right, we got to go load up the truck to go to the Costco to get the food for the month, because it's going to be about a 45-minute drive.
I don't know. I don't know why. Both those extremes sound good to me. They always have. Since I was a kid, those are the two ways I want to go. And nothing in between is as exciting as either of those, but whatever. I'm in between now, so it's fine. It's fine. It gets me by. It gets me where I need to go. By the way, I'm a little nervous for tonight. Can I tell you why?
Why?
Neighbor Kid is doing a shadow someone at work thing for school.
Yeah.
So he's going to come hang out while I do an art stream, and I explain how...
He's going to shadow you.
Yeah, he's shadowing me. And I'm just nervous because I'm not used to being watched while I do any of this sort of stuff. So it's a little bit weird. He was going to be here for TMS, but then something else came up and he's not here. So anyway, you could have had some
kids. Today is take your random neighbor child to work day.
Kind of, yeah. They have to find somebody who does an interesting job and then they want to shadow them for this class. Mm-hmm. And I agreed. And then now it's only tonight. So it's fine. It's fine. But if he'd have been here now, he'd have been right by the stormtrooper staring at me, and it would have weirded me out the entire episode. So it's fine.
Yeah.
I couldn't say shit as much. Yeah, hey, anyway.
Yeah.
Let's get to the deal here. Daryl, we got a question for you. Brian's going to explain the rules and the prizes. Brian, how's it work?
That's right. Max in Georgia. We're going to be asking Daryl a trivia question here in just a moment. He's going to answer with a number. It won't be right, though. Come on, let's not kid ourselves. It's going to be close, but it's not going to be right. Then we're going to turn to you, Max, and we're going to say, is the actual answer higher or lower than Daryl's guess. If you are correct, you win either a collection of Power Rangers coasters, a five-piece Power Ranger coaster set. I don't know what happens when you assemble all of these into one big coaster, but I'm sure it's epic. As well as an ET phone home speak and spell magnet. If only you could push the buttons and actually have it do something except just say phone home.
Oh, that's cool though. Where the heck did you get that? Is that that's one of those loot crate deals?
Yeah, it's a loot crate deal. Sci-fi block, courtesy, both of these courtesy of sci-fi block. Or you can trade both of those prizes in and get a Last Dragon DVD.
Not bad.
But only if you win.
Yeah, you got some choices there, Max. I feel good about your options.
Right. Your category is Star Wars Destiny.
Sweet.
Destiny. What is Star Wars Destiny? Oh, it's the cards.
The Dyson card game.
Right. All right. So, Daryl, you like Star Wars. You're a fan. You like it. You never played Destiny, though, right?
No, I never have.
All right. Well, here's your chance in a small way. The next set for Star Wars Destiny comes out sometime in May of this year. Emperor Palpatine was one of the first cards revealed for this set. He has the most health of any of the characters in the game. How many health or hit points does he have? Health slash hit points, same things. Mm-hmm. So how many does he think he has now? I will give you a hint. Keep in mind this is a card game. The answer is somewhere between 1 and 150.
Oh.
Nice broad range.
That's a good broad range.
That's why you throw him down a pit.
I was going to say, he seemed like the easiest guy to defeat. You just pick him up and huck him down a chute.
Yeah, he's got that one weakness. He's like the Death Star. He's got the one thing he can't deal with, is getting hucked down a pit.
I mean, with Vader, at least you got to shoot his TIE interceptor and make him fly around the turret or the trench. Mm-hmm. And you got to whack him a few times with a lightsaber. And you got to, there's so much you had to do to Darth Vader to finally put him out.
But the Emperor, as old and feeble as he is, the only way to take him down with all his hit points is throw him down the pit.
Exactly. So, watch his health meter go
boom all at once. Yeah. It's a good trick. Anyway, Daryl, what do you think about that there question?
I have no idea at all.
Mm.
So I'm just picking a number between 1 and 150.
Oh, sure. Right. You're just going to do it random, eh?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'll just say, how about 62?
62. Interesting number. Not 67 or 47. 62. You like 62 today.
62.
Yeah, I think 47 is too low.
I agree. 62 is Daryl's answer. And Brian, I guess I need to ask you, is that right?
62 is incorrect. Max in Georgia, is the actual answer higher or lower than 62?
I'm going to solve this like I've solved many problems in life. I'm going to roll with D20.
Nice.
If it's odd, it's going to be lower. If even higher.
Okay.
Excellent. I've seen Daryl use this 19, technique.
So I'm going to say lower.
You're going to say lower because he rolled a 19. All right.
Yep.
That's a pretty good roll, by the way. Nicely done.
Yeah, almost a critical hit.
Let's find out. Let's find out from the judges if it's indeed lower. Is it lower? Oh.
Congratulations.
Just kidding.
You're a winner.
You totally won. It is lower. The next set for Star Wars Destiny's thing has a hit points for him at 15. It's only 15.
15?
Yeah. Well, it's a card game. Card games are low math.
If you would have rolled a 15, Max, I think I would have given you all three prizes.
Yeah. You know what it's like? It's like Hearthstone or any other like CCG. The characters have hit points and your minions have hit points of like, you know, 5 and 2 and stuff like that. So it's just, you know, card games. They're low. That's just how it works. Anyway, he has 15 points. The second most health is Darth Vader from his set. He's 13. Palpatine will be difficult to defeat in this game as he has an ability that does an automatic 2 damage whenever he resolves one of his dice. I think that's like his electrical power or whatever. Here's a picture of the card. You guys can't see it, but I can. Let's see if it's cool.
We didn't get any audio from Iceworm going, if you roll the dice.
No, but I'm shocked that he didn't now that you say it, Brian, because he always does. There he is.
I have 15 hit points.
It says, after you resolve the die, for an opponent, you deal 2 damage to their characters, distributed as they wish. Everything is proceeding as I have foreseen, it says at the bottom. Owen, he has his die with him and everything. That game's pretty good, I keep hearing, but I still haven't played it. I have the set and I haven't done anything with it. Mm-hmm. I know.
I was really hoping to play it in Seattle, but did not do it.
Well, That's okay, because today we have a winner. Well done, Max. You just need to send an email to briancoverville@gmail.com. He will get all the prizes together and sent to you to the proper address. I hope you and your town of 50,000 do well, and congratulations for winning today, sir.
Thanks, and I will be sending you a prize, too. I emailed you last week about the D&D starter set.
That's right. That's right. We are going to add to the prize pool a starter set for D&D, what, 5? It's the 5th edition? Yeah. I'm so stoked about that. I need to get one of those myself, in fact, but I cannot wait to give that away. Someone's going to get a rad prize from that, and so Max is... I forgot that was you. That is the same Max. That's awesome, dude. Well, well done, and congratulations on your lucky roll today. We'll see you later. Daryl, well done. You've helped that guy be a wiener. Let's now tell people where they can find you. Daryl's the Trek Nerd on Twitter. You can also find him at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com. What was this week's episode, or what will it be?
Let's see. What is it? It's Deep Space Nine. It's got lots of Ferengis in it.
Oh, so every Deep Space Nine episode then? Of all time? all the ones that they ever made? That's the one we're getting? Okay, great. No, that's good. I like Ferengi stuff. Is it a Grand Nagus episode? One of those deals?
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, all right. So we get Wallace Shawn.
That's right.
Inconceivable.
Inconceivable.
Not the Grand Nagus.
Yep. He's great in that.
And I spit on everybody I talk to.
He was the best casted Ferengi in the history of that show.
That's for sure, yeah.
Really, really good.
Yes.
All right. There it is with you and Michael Gaines, thisweekintrek.com. Why don't you play a little game with us now, Daryl? What do you got for us?
Well, I'm going to read a part of a query that I have entered into YouTube. Mm-hmm. You complete the phrase and win nothing.
All right. What do you got?
Well, let's see. I've been saving this. I guess I should do it now before it's too late. Nintendo Switch is blank.
Nintendo Switch is blank.
Blank. I'm going to say scratched.
Yeah, YouTubers would do that, wouldn't they?
Mm-hmm. By the way, you should be receiving your glass cover any day now. Sent that out Saturday for you.
Maybe today. Probably tomorrow, the way mail goes here. That's awesome. Yeah. All right. I'm going to say scratch is good, but I'm going to say is out of stock. Mm. That feels more like a Google search, but I'm going to stick with it. I'll say out of stock because it's probably a terrible idea, but I'm sticking with it. All right. So how'd we do?
Well, the number one actual query is Nintendo Switch is trash.
Oh, that's not nice at all.
I don't have one and I can't buy one, so I hate it. Yeah. I think they suck.
I hate it. Say your rules. Nintendo sucks.
That's probably it.
Why would that be a thing? It's not trash. It's great. That thing's great.
It is great. Oh my God. I'm loving. I can't stop playing Breath of the Wild.
It's great. The Breath of the Wild breathes on me daily. It's always breathing on me and it makes me feel wild. Now I can't.
Hot Breath of the Wild down the back of my neck.
Okay, big test here. This is supposed to let me hang up on Daryl. I'm going to try it.
Okay.
Did it work?
Ga-ga-ga-ga-ga.
No. Ga-ga. It didn't work. Daryl will be removed from this conversation. Oh, there it is. Yep, it did. It worked. It totally works. I found a way to do it. Boo-hoo-ha-ha-ha. It's time for the news brought to you by...
Brought to you by Soundography. New episode just went up today. And boy, if you thought we'd been just going easy on you with stuff like the Posies and Pet Shop Boys and Patsy Cline and all these fun, easy to listen to bands. Well, all that came to an end this last episode because we listened to nothing but Mushroom Head and all of the related bands relating to Mushroom Head, side projects and stuff for one entire week. How did I survive? Right? Find out. On the Soundography, you can find it at soundography.com.
You took a bullet for us, Brian. Well done.
It was rough. It was a rough week.
Well,
I can't. There's nothing that I've made Hammond listen to that can compare. It wasn't like Spice Girls was probably an easier week for him than Mushroom Head was for me.
I'm sure it was. I think I have a feeling he knows that he's doing this to you.
I think so, too.
Yeah, I think he knows.
You can tell it in his voice in that episode, actually. There's a lot of funny stuff in that episode. So check it out, soundography.com.
Nice. Police have said this. Florida man has been cited for eating pancakes in the street.
Street cakes.
Street cakes. Mm.
Johnny Street Cakes.
Oh, yeah. Sounds like a character in that movie we saw for FilmSac.
Right.
The Wraith.
I'm trying to remember Johnny Flapjacks or something. What was it? It was like
It was like that, though.
He was a witness relocation guy or something like that, working in a diner, or am I...
No, you're right. I don't know what it is, though. You're totally on to something, because it's familiar to me.
Yeah.
Can't think of it, though. Well, anyway, this Florida guy...
Flapjacks, hey!
This guy say they've charged a Florida man recorded on video sitting in the street eating pancakes. The Lakeland Police News report or release says that Kerryon Thomas was charged Thursday with placing an obstruction in the roadway and disrupting the free flow of traffic. He was not arrested but issued an April 25th court date. Police say they received a call Tuesday morning about a man sitting in the crosswalk of a busy intersection. The caller said the man had a small TV tray in front of him and was eating what appeared to be pancakes. Officers responded, but the man had already left. The video of the incident was later posted on Facebook and shared in the message to the police. Several people tagged the video for Thomas, who police say admitted pulling the prank. Now, the question is, was it a prank or was he just weird? It's Florida man, so I'm hesitant to say that he's
right,
not weird.
It could be one or the other. Like, he could just be like, I'm just eating pancakes, mm-hmm. no big deal. Or it could be like, oh, I'm totally eating pancakes in the middle of the street.
Yeah, I'm going to see if I can actually find the video of this exists. Here we go.
Oh.
I just want to play it.
Somebody had the wherewithal to capture this on a smartphone?
Unbelievable in 2017. Yep, here it is, chat room. Have a look, see at this. This will be fun for you. I'm going to center this up. All right, here we go. Playing it. There he is. He's in the street. He's got syrup.
A Florida man has learned the hard way that the middle of a street is perhaps not the best place for a pancake breakfast.
Oh, gosh. This news person is the worst.
It didn't. Okay. Yeah. I was going to say it didn't sound like he learned the hard way because he didn't get arrested.
No.
He just has to appear in court next month.
He learned the easy way, is what he learned.
Pancaking it to the streets. Pancaking it to the streets. No money for running.
Yeah.
Pancaking it to the streets.
Caking it to the streets. Nicely done.
Caking it to the streets.
Oh, my gosh. Who's that? Who are we singing? I forget. It's
That's Michael McDonald. Michael McDonald. The Doobie Brothers.
Yep. Like
Take
a rock.
This message to my brother.
Did he do Like a Rock and then used it for the...
That's Bob Seger.
No, Bob Seger. I always get Bob Seger and him mixed up.
They have the same exact facial hair, so I can see that totally being related.
I don't want to
or totally
that.
Being connected, yeah.
Are they both alive or are they both dead? What's going on
both
with those?
Both alive.
Okay. Still making...
Michael McDonald, super, super skinny now and like ghostly white hair. Like he... witnessed a poltergeist or something and
really
turned his hair all white.
Interesting. Michael.
Bob Seger, I think, probably just looks exactly like Bob Seger always has.
Let's see. Michael McDonald images. Oh, yeah. Look at that. Oh, he looks a little bit like Sam Elliott.
He kind of does.
Yeah,
totally
he's got
does.
The mustache. Look at this chat room. Look at that thing. That's pretty cool. Speaking of which, man, that last season of Justified.
Oh, you finished it?
Yeah, there's that scene. There's a scene in Win Duffy's Winnebago
trailer, yeah,
that is remarkably violent.
Yes,
but that whole thing with Mikey, him, and the lady, Ted Danson's wife,
yeah, Mary Steenburgen,
Bergenheimen. Is quite the scene. Maybe one of the most memorable scenes in the history of that show.
I remember there being a scene. I don't remember the specifics on that, but because it's been a while, but
gnarly.
Really?
Just gnarly. Win Duffy.
I gotta say though.
Yeah.
Last week's episode, the Bolero scene of last week's episode of Legion.
Oh no, dude, work of art that show.
Might be my favorite 3-4 minutes of television in the last 5 years.
Yeah, no, I'm with you 100%. I think that was not just TV. That was literally we were watching art being made.
We totally were.
Blown away by the last episode of Legion was something special.
It really was. And the fact that Jemaine Clement from Flight of the Conchords was instrumental in creating that piece, that 3 to 4 minute piece of art,
yep,
is just blows my mind.
It was so good. And yeah, what's her name?
You were just doing it's Bolero.
Oh, I got the wrong song. Yeah, yeah. You know what I'm thinking of? I just conflated the other favorite scene I had this year. Nope, it was from Westworld, and they had that song during the fight in the
yes.
In the street.
Oh, paint it black is what you're doing.
Paint it black is what I'm doing. Yes.
Oh, to joy. Yeah. It's only your
where Huey Lewis runs the front gate there.
You could almost do a paint it black Ode to Joy mashup because they've both got that.
Yep. And then they go weird. It's almost like they just go minor chords at some point, but they're kind of the same song. Anyway, point is Legion, man. Frickin'
such a great
Jesus.
Episode, but that I want that 3 or 4 minutes just auto replaying over and over on this third video screen I have here.
And I gotta say, I didn't know Aubrey Plaza had it in her, man. I didn't know she had this in her. She is a revelation in this show. Unbelievable.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, if you're not watching Legion, it's one of two reasons. One, you haven't gotten around to it, or two, this is not for some people. Some people see this and just go, "What are you doing every week?" And I see it and go, "Keep doing it. I don't care what it is. Just keep making this. Whatever this weird shit is, you just keep making it. I'll keep eating it because it's great."
Yeah. So good.
Woman. There's a woman.
Okay.
speaking of women we were talking about car crashes earlier, not women, but car crashing people. A woman has blamed her car crash on Sasquatch.
Was he eating pancakes?
The skunk ape. it doesn't say that. It says 50-year-old Idaho woman. What is 50-year-old Idaho woman's powers? What are those?
Oh, jeez. Idaho woman doesn't eat as many potatoes these days because she's trying to keep her starch down. Excelsior!
Gotta keep that starch down, son. 50-year-old Idaho woman swears a car accident Wednesday night wasn't her fault. She was distracted by Bigfoot. The Moscow Pullman Daily News. Been there?
No, I've never even heard of it. I've been to the Idaho Statesman, but never the Moscow Pullman Daily News.
I have been to
newspaper.
I've been to Russian Independence Day president. That's what that is, Bill Pullman.
Bill Pullman. Okay.
Yeah. I have been to Moscow, Idaho. It's a fine town. It's fine. It's just weird that it's named Moscow. But anyway, reports the woman was driving along U.S. Highway 95 north of Palatch. It's a dumb town.
Potlatch.
Oh, Potlatch. That is a T. You're right.
Potlatch.
Around 11:30 p.m. when she says she saw Sasquatch or Sam Squanch or Skunk Ape or Bigfoot.
Skunk Ape. I love the term Skunk Ape, and it's got to totally be a regional thing because the only two people I've ever heard say that are you and Len Peralta.
I think I may have gotten it from Len, to be honest.
Okay. All
so right. It's probably a Cleveland thing or something.
Cleveland thing, yeah.
Anyway, chasing deer along the side of the road, she says. She says the Sasquatch was 7 to 8 feet tall and shaggy.
Well, I hope so.
Oh, Scoob. I don't want to go in there, Scoob. She was described.
I'm gonna get these deer, Scooby, and we're gonna cook them up in the mystery machine.
I'd have done it too if it wasn't for your kids and that shitty dog.
We're gonna roll that deer up and smoke it, Scoob.
Okay, this reminds me. This morning I was having a Twitter fart about why I can't find any of the Super Friends legit streaming somewhere. I understand I can get bits and pieces on YouTube, but I would really like legit. Full episode, all the seasons of Super Friends, and I don't want to go buy a bunch of DVDs. So does anyone out there know where I can be subscribed to get the entirety of the Super Friends? And I won't call you super fools if you tell me. Okay? Because I really want that in my life. Anyway.
Right. It seems like WB should just loosen the purse strings on that, right? Because I'm sure it's... Well, we've got the Justice League movie coming up. Let's let's promote the heck out of it by letting people watch Super Friends.
Super Friends. Meanwhile,
at the Hall of Justice.
At the Legion of Doom. I mean, do they think they have, maybe they haven't converted them all. Maybe the originals are all crappy and they don't have digital stuff or something. Yeah. I don't know. But anyway, I really want it in my life. anyway, she described it as a hairy beast, this Bigfoot. Mm-hmm. The woman tells authorities she glanced in the mirror and got a second look at the creature when one of the deer ran in front of the car. She kept driving her damaged vehicle to pick up her husband at work before reporting the incident at the sheriff's office at midnight. The deputy went with her to the scene of the crash, but apparently saw no sign of Bigfoot. You know why? Because there's no freaking thing such as a Bigfoot. They don't exist.
I would totally just say, yeah, deer ran in front of my car. No need to bring up that it was a Bigfoot chasing the deer in front of your car. Just, I ran into a deer.
Yeah, there's no Bigfoot. It doesn't exist. Yeah. It never has. I have friends who believe in Bigfoot. I don't care. I say it right to their faces. You're all wrong. There are no Bigfoot. All the big feet are fake.
By the way, Max Power and Widget have helped you out. There is, you can get it on Amazon for $12.99 a season. Get your Super Friends.
Oh, I can get my digital that way, eh?
Get your digital that way, but nothing free streaming, unfortunately.
That should just, I mean, they should stream it on a service. I'm paying for those services, and if I can go to, if I can get this much SpongeBob on Hulu, why can't I get a little Super Friends?
Right. I'm with you. Totally with you.
Good Lord. All right. Also, anyways.
People are saying my Shaggy sounds like Bill Cosby. Come on now.
I disagree.
So different.
I disagree. It doesn't sound like him at all. Do it again. Yeah. Give us a,
this is my version of Shaggy.
Yeah, that's not at all.
That's not Bill Cosby.
No. Oh, wait. Say, here, just take this pill. It'll be fine.
Take this pill. You can put it in your drink and maybe mix it with some Jell-O pudding. I would have gotten away with it, too, if it weren't for all those women coming forward.
Yeah. All those victims telling them what I did. I'm still bummed out about that. Bill Cosby, America's dad. What was he doing?
I know. Cleo or Theo?
Cleo.
Cleo.
Oh, speaking of Cleo, I want to give a little shout out to Cleo. Can I do that now?
Yeah.
Not that a good transition is freaking. I'm talking about Bill Cosby, but Cleo, I just want her to know we're thinking about her. She's been in that hospital again and again and again, and poor Eden. Just, you know, it just seems like a never ending deal. And I don't know that I've ever seen a mother love a daughter as much as she does. So I'm just impressed with her, and I want her to know that. And also, she sent me some lemon candy, and that was super nice.
Aww.
She doesn't need to be sending me anything, by the way. She has enough to worry about, but she did anyway.
Right, exactly, yeah.
She sent me some Jolly Rancher hard candy, all lemon, all day. That's all that's in these is lemon.
That's your favorite Jolly Rancher flavor, isn't it?
It is, and this is the only thing I break my sugar diet for, is to eat a few of these. So.
And for those of you who are new listeners, Cleo is a friend of the program, still listens on the regular, but used to be able to, without her job, basically, she used to come on here every week and give us points, give Tadpool listeners points for the things they said in chat that deserved points.
Yeah. We recognized you and your hilarity, chat room.
Absolutely.
You're still funny.
Now nobody's there to recognize your hilarity. It just goes unnoticed.
Yeah. Somebody right now is going, I could do that. And they're going to email. Don't. It's Carrie's. We're keeping it hers.
Exactly. That nameplate on that office door stays Cleo until she can come back.
That's right. That's how we roll here at the Frog Pants Enterprises. So anyway.
She does it on the weekend and just gives us like a recorded thing that says, here's who got points.
Yep. Anyway, we're thinking about her. It's rough stuff, man. I don't know how you do with that. It's just watching that poor little girl suffer like that is really frustrating. All right, here's... this is awesome. Mm-hmm. People are out in the wild for a year as part of a reality show doing survival stuff in the woods. Found out after 7 more months of being out there that their show was canceled.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, this is great.
Like how...
This is amazing. Contestants who spent a year fending for themselves in the wilderness as part of a reality show were led to discover or found out later that it had been off the air for 7 months before they even got home.
No.
Channel 4, this is in the UK, sent a group of people to a remote part of Scottish Highlands with the task of building a new society for the program called Eden. But due to terrible viewing figures, only 4 episodes of Social Experiment were ever shown last summer, according to the Daily Mail. So they only got 4 episodes of this thing out. 23 volunteers battled hunger, infighting, and isolation, and some having to resort to eating chicken feed to survive. Chicken feed.
Right.
What is chicken feed? Just seeds?
Yeah, I think so. What is that? Mullet?
Is it called?
Or like?
No, it's called...
Millet.
Millet.
Mullet.
Yeah. Mullet.
Mullet. It's party in the front. Or I'm sorry, business in the front, party in the back. Yeah. Seed all around.
Yep. You and I were there. We knew. We know.
Yep.
We had those. We regret it. whatever. I regret nothing. It's fine. We regret nothing. We had the hair we had, and that's just the way it was. Let's see. So bad. 10 contestants quit before the end. Those who left complaining of health concerns. Or those that were left, anyway. So when filming ended, the remaining participants were stunned to find out that no one had been even watching this. Speaking to the Press and Journal, Maria McPherson, who lives in Ardamurchan Peninsula.
Ardamurchan Peninsula,
where the show was filmed, said, the last 10 days have left. In the end, the show was a joke. The last 10 have... Oh, not days. The last 10 have left. In the end, the show is a joke. Some of the participants were even seen at the dentist in Fort William needing treatment after eating chicken feed grit.
Oh.
I would sue these guys. Why couldn't they come out after the 4 months and go, yo, sorry, everybody, we got canceled, so you can go home now. Why didn't they do that?
I don't know. This feels wrong. It's really sad, yeah. I mean, the film crew was still there, so the film crew was working for nothing as well.
That's really funky.
Yeah.
Something.
I mean, they filmed that stuff way ahead of time. It was probably, they probably filmed, you know, the first, I don't know, 6 months of it. Or the first, how long were they out there? I mean, basically, probably about the time the show got canceled, the actual thing was ending, and they realized that the remaining parts of the show are...
Oh, they don't make that clear. You're right. That has to be it.
Yeah, because they filmed that stuff so early in advance, because they have all that editing to do to figure out who's going to be the enemy. And
yeah, and then they just lock them down so they can't say anything, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's if they do Survivor, Survivor's long over by the time we're seeing it. But the people involved just can't say anything or whatever.
The only ones that still go live is like Big Brother is always live, because that has to be live just because of the way they do it. By the way, the CBS probably had a similar thing, because they had Big Brother Over the Top, which was the CBS All Access thing, right? It was like they were trying to do the only get it via the app thing, like they're going to be doing with Star Trek Discovery.
Yeah, that's the deal where there's no censorship, right? People could say or do whatever they want or whatever. Wasn't that the deal?
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And let's see, Big Brother Over the Top. It got canceled before a winner was announced. And I'm guessing they just said, "All right, well, everybody who's left, just go on home."
Really?
Yeah.
That's a bummer, man. And that's the one where you could, like, there were naked people in that version of the show.
Well, sort of. I mean, they were much better about, even with the live stuff, they had enough of a delay that they could switch to a different feed if somebody was getting naked. In Europe, they don't care. It's like, whatever, we're you know, airing it all, but...
Because you're literally Big Brothering. You're Big Brother, which means naked people. Because you're watching everything, because you're Big Brother.
Really? Yeah, exactly. Naked people. Yeah. We saw
naked people. All right. Excellent news, everyone. Well done, world. And let's get out of here for a break. We're going to do some music when we come back. Steven will be here talking about the latest and greatest in pop culture, comics, and more. So come back for that. In the meantime, music, what do you got?
I guess I'm all laggy and frozen and twitchy. I think it might be good now, but...
You've cleared up since, if that's true. Okay, good. You're a little twitchy, but not too bad. Sounds like...
Okay. Well, I'll take it. Okay. I'll imagine that I'm fine, and this gives me time to stall, like as I'm pulling up the, the name of who I'm playing here. Okay, that's it right there. Yep. All right, the performer that we're going to be hearing for Indie in the Middle is from Walla Walla, Washington, just up the street from that place in Idaho where you see Bigfoot run across the street and chase deer.
Nice.
Guitar-driven eclectic rock with bluesy bits. Departing from traditional pop music norms, this is Minteer, M-I-N-T-E-E-R. The album is Calling All Aliens, and it's available. Big thanks to Minteer for sending this. By the way, you can check him out at minteer.live. Here is, from the upcoming album Calling All Aliens, here is the song Welcome Home.
Ride to take over your nation. Get in line or get a nuclear vacation. Don't be impressed with the manner of dress or the sound of infatuation. We have a ride to take over your nation. Show your anticipation. Look like you care or get a vaporization. Don't be alarmed, we'll help you buy the farm if you dispute alien fixation. Hands in the air, show your anticipation. Everybody on the planet gets free education. Everybody gets intellectual reorganization. civilization. Everybody better get alien infatuation, or we'll pull out our stingers and melt all your minds. Before an ugly insinuation. Red planet wasn't red before the atomization. So when we raise completely, embrace the gravity of the situation. Think twice before an ugly insinuation. Everybody on the planet gets re-education. Everybody gets intellectual reorganization. Everybody better get alien infatuation. Everybody on the planet gets re-education. Everybody gets intellectual reorganization. Everybody better get alien infatuation. Or we'll pull out our stingers and melt all your minds. Vacation. Don't be impressed with the manner of dress or the sound of our fluctuations. We have arrived to take your love.
Hold your horses, guy.
The morning stream. There's a snake in my boots.
I think it's snake in my boot, not my boots.
Otherwise, it'd be two snakes, or
yeah,
a snake that's half in one boot and half in the other.
Yeah, not to be picky, but come on, Fletcher. Kick up a notch.
Maybe, you know, go look at the IMDb quotes page and get that one right.
Yeah, get that looked at, will you? All right. Hey, what's going on now? I know.
Something that begins with...
Exactly. That's the one. If I could just pull his name up, that'd be great. I'm having a hard time finding it. Why? Here we go. Steven. Because it's with a PH, not with a V. I know that. I knew that already. Right. Why would I
by
not
the way,
know that?
By the way, let me really quickly back announce that, too, because I don't do that enough.
All right.
That was Mintier, M-I-N-T-E-E-R, and welcome home from the upcoming album, Calling All Aliens. Find him at mintier.live.
Nice. Well done. Here's this. Hello, Steven Schleicher. What's going on with you?
Oh, it's lunchtime.
Is it now? Yeah. Oh, that's right. It's noon where you are, where you live.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Are you, when you do this segment, are you super hungry or how's that go for you?
Actually, I was planning out the week's dinners. And so I was over at a website that had all these recipes and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm getting really hungry.
Well, it's perfect because then you can come on here, you can talk some more rad stuff and then you'll be starving by the time you're done.
I know, but then I got to go do some exercise.
Oh, that too then. Look at you all. Yeah. This is all good stuff that you're doing, man.
I guess.
Planning meals, exercising. Jeez, you're efficient. What am I going to meet some sort of combination of Martha Stewart and
Guy Fieri?
Guy Fieri. Like, it's going to happen in Nerdtacular. I'm nervous now. Anyway, no, it's good to have you on as always. Steven comes on here courtesy of Majorspoilers.com, where all your comic book, Comic-Con, pop culture, TV, movies, all that stuff's there. You can find it. Lots of great podcasts in general. And today we're going to talk a little bit about the New York Comic Con doing away with MultiPass.
Yeah, so this was announced a couple of weeks ago that the New York Comic Con is getting rid of its 3- and 4-day pass tickets in favor of people going out and having to buy the individual day tickets. And of course, there are some pros and cons on both sides of this. You know, maybe you want to just go in for a Friday and you don't want to have to spend all that extra money to get a multi-day pass. But if you're someone who is wanting to go on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, your multi-pass options are gone and you have to buy those single tickets. And hopefully you can get those single tickets before they get sold out. And that's probably the biggest problem. And the other thing is there's also this, by getting rid of the multi-day pass, you're encouraging more people to get to the show instead of someone who buys a 3-day pass and then they can come and go at will. It kind of encourages more people to get into the show floor. But at the same time, most multi-day passes are discounted. And so it seems like somebody's going to be making an extra $5 to $10 per ticket sold.
Yeah, for sure. That's no matter what, they're going to make more money because the per days are always more money than the deal. That's the reason you had the 3-day pass, was because it was a deal. So somebody else just did this. Was it PAX East that just did this?
I don't remember who did it now. Who did it recently? San Diego Comic Con got rid of their multi-day passes back in 2015.
So it's a trend then. We're going to see.
Yeah, it looks like it's a growing trend.
So in Salt Lake's case, they just did FanX, and that had a full weekend pass. But I wonder if the proper con this fall will have that eliminated or not. I don't know. Because you can already buy tickets for it, so maybe they have to plan this way ahead or something.
I think they probably do. And in some cases, some places that have had multi-day in the past will sell a multi-day pass to people who have purchased multi-day passes before, but you have to do that a year in advance.
Oh, grandfathered in, sort of.
Yeah.
I could see that. Well, that's weird, but I guess, I don't know, I guess I understand it. I understand the logistics reasons and maximizing your attendance every day.
That's what I kind of like about it, but I also, for someone who wants to go to the convention and spend many days there, it really kind of is a pain in the butt when you're like, oh, look, I got a Friday pass and a Sunday pass, but the Saturday pass is sold out within 3 seconds of them going on sale.
Yeah. Well, I'll see. If you come to Nerdtacular 2017, well, it's not too late.
Oh, those tickets sold out already.
Yeah, those tickets went away in a day. But if you did get tickets to that, that's a nice thing. One price all weekend, super cheap, blah, blah, blah. Too cheap, probably, some would argue. So we were treated this weekend to the Justice League trailer. And,
yeah, we were.
I got some things to say about this.
Go for it.
I don't think it's spoil. I mean, it's a trailer. It's not really. It's nothing to spoil here. But I want to say this. So you got your Batman, Wonder Woman, I believe is her name. She's in it. Yeah. Cyborg, or as I call him, creepily CGI face with a bunch of stuff around it. Man, he doesn't look right to me. But whatever. It's the Flash.
Yeah.
Barry Allen. And different Barry Allen than TV, though. Everyone should know. Right. It's different dude.
Definitely.
He looks a lot like, you know, he looks like, who is the Mac and PC guy?
Justin Long.
Justin Long. He looks like Justin Long Jr.
Little Justin Long to him, yeah.
Yeah. And then they got Aquaman there. He's got the power of water and talking to the fish, right?
Yes, he does.
So they are all in it, and they're running around doing their stuff, and they're fighting an unknown foe. We don't know who that is yet or what's going on there. Mm-hmm. However, I'm not stupid. I've been around this stuff long enough. I've read the comics long enough. I've been a fan long enough of the DC universe and these characters and the JLA in general. I mean, duh, of course Superman's going to be in this. And this trailer pretends like they're
Scott,
ignoring
Superman's
him.
Dead.
No, he's not.
Didn't you see the last movie? He was dead.
He's not coming back.
They buried him
Scott.
In everything.
I don't know what you're thinking, but
yeah, but the end of that movie, you can see the dirt moving on his coffin.
That
and all
was
that.
An earthquake caused by fracking.
Uh-huh. Is the fracking going on near Smallville? That was
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of fracking in Kansas.
So I just don't like that they're coyly playing with this elephant in the room thing. It just bugs me. It's like, just show him.
Horses so here's the thing. They have to unite the league, and we do know from the trailer, again, this is from the trailer, no spoilers, unless you are someone who refuses to watch the trailer, it does look like there are some parademons flying around and this incursion from Darkseid and all that good stuff. Mm. I would point people to the animated movie Justice League War, which kind of follows the first year of the New 52 over at DC Comics. And in that, Superman has been captured and is being brainwashed or trying to be converted into one of Darkseid's weapons. Mm. And they kind of have him out for a big portion of the movie. So it wouldn't surprise me if oh my gosh, Superman's body's been stolen. Darkseid has it. He's trying to resurrect the body to make him the ultimate weapon. And then in the third act, Superman comes out full force.
That sounds right.
Helps clobber people.
That sounds right. What you've just described, I'll bet, is totally what's going on. You've seen this stuff long enough to get, I think, a feeling for that. So
yeah, I don't think that anyone is really fooled either that Superman's not going to be in the movie, because Henry Cavill is all doing his Instagrams posts where he's talking about all the training that he's doing, even for the Man of Steel 2 and the other movies that are coming out.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's doing work. The big question is, because if you're following Cavill, he's been calling out Green Lantern a lot in almost every post. And it makes us really wonder if we're not going to see an appearance, maybe not a big appearance, but an appearance of a Green Lantern in this movie.
Wow. That'd
be cool. Like a stinger, post-credit stinger.
Like a stinger post-credit, yeah.
Right. Oh my God. That excites me.
That gets you interested? All right. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
I mean, I'm interested. I'm going to see this. I'm not, I haven't been the biggest fan of the Zack Snyder stuff, but I will say, and I tweeted about this too, is that, boy, this trailer makes you think that the entire movie is going to be normal speed, slow down fights.
Yep.
Normal speed, slow down, throw in a spear. Normal speed.
And this is Zack Snyder again, right?
Yeah, totally. Right. Zack Snyder.
So
they have not gotten rid of him yet.
All right. They need to, probably.
Zack Snyder uses slow down like J.J. Abrams uses lens flare.
Yeah.
Yep. Fast, slow, fast. Even in his movie, the animated movie Owls of Gahoolihoo or whatever it was.
Yes, Owls of Gahoolihoo. That was it.
There is a whole sequence where the owls are fighting and there is a fast, slow, fast sequence in that.
That's the owl that whacked Nancy Kerrigan in the knee, wasn't it?
Oh, it is Owls of Gahooli. How do you say that?
I don't know. I always say Gahoolihoo.
People. Legend of the Guardians, the Owls of Gahoolihoo. Yeah, whatever that is. disease. He has, who does Transformers? Michael Bay. He has Michael Bay disease. Because you can go back in history and go, oh man, that Dawn of the Dead remake was really good. And you can say really good things about his, 300 stuff and all that. You know, there's lots to like about old Zack Snyder things. And then things just went a little weird lately.
But here's the thing. And this is the same reason with Michael Bay, is that their movies, regardless of how craptacular you think they are, make money. And the Batman v Superman is still in the top 20 of the all-time moneymakers for movies worldwide.
But let's use this scenario.
And that's the same way with Transformers. Why do they keep making Transformers movies when all of us keep pulling our hair out, Brian, obviously the most,
right?
And say, why do you keep making Transformers movies? Because they make $700 million worldwide at a cost of $200 million. So that's a big deal for the studios.
All right, picture us. The three of us are down in Mexico, and we come upon Steven Schleicher's taco stand on the street.
Oh, it'd be
we're
the
never
best
gonna get
taco
back home
stand in the world.
The damn wall, but, okay.
And we keep hearing, oh, the tacos are terrible, but that stand makes money. Well, what's wrong? Well, he puts rat poo in every taco. If you just didn't have rat poo in your taco, imagine how many more tacos you'd sell. If you're already making money, you'd sell more tacos because there's no rat poo.
Yeah, but so, you know, it takes me a bunch of extra steps to remove the rat poo. And it's much easier to just serve up the rat poo and take the money.
But imagine
take 2 months and make rat poo tacos that make $700 million, or maybe spend another 6 months on top of that and maybe make another, I don't know, $100 million.
I agree
million.
With you that's probably what's going on. I just think that that is a really short-sighted way to approach anything, and that it's the difference between, you know, EA rushing a game to market and Blizzard taking their time. You know what I mean? Like, take your time, do it right. You'll have that money plus way more down the road because you'll earn the trust and the love of an adoring audience for forever and ever.
But they don't care about the audience as much as they care about their investors and keeping their investors happy. So it really boils down to that, which is super unfortunate. And I know we want better stories and we want better movies, but my gosh,
But Marvel's figured this out.
It's just bean pushers.
But Miles Morales. Marvel has figured this out, though. They understand that you can have both those things. You can make your shareholders happy and you can make good shit. So I don't know why they can't learn that lesson over there. What is it about their stance? Is it just they're stubborn? Are they just like, well, we're doing it our way and it's going to be dark and slow motion? And
so part of this, I think, has to go back to, because it's not all Warner Brothers and all Disney movies are competing like this. It really goes back to the comics. And even though DC was around before Marvel, you know, we can fight either way, National Comics versus Timely Comics, et cetera.
Right.
at some point it becomes, well, we've got a superhero team and they've got a superhero team and we've got to make our team different or everyone's just going to say that we are just like them. And unfortunately, with the superhero genre where you have, oh, seven members of the Justice League, and oh, how many people are in the Avengers movies? You run into these comparisons a lot. And so I think from Warner Brothers' point of view, they are looking at, we have to be radically different. And so if that means dark and brooding and the opposite of maybe what Marvel is doing, although one can argue that most recent Marvel films are rather dark, then that's the way they're going to go to set themselves apart so people aren't going, oh, the Justice League is just a Avengers ripoff.
Yeah. How do you feel about Batman on a horse? That's the question I had for you.
Well, Batman on a horse goes all the way back to The Dark Knight Returns, mm-hmm. That great splash page that Frank Miller did when the electricity goes out in Gotham City. And I've always thought that was a really cool thing, mm-hmm. because at this point he has united all the different factions out there to go and save the city at night and protect it from the bad guys. So I kind of like that iconography.
Mm-hmm. If it was Adam West, it would be called the Bat Horse.
Yeah, the Bat Horse. Yes. Robin, old chum. Yeah, exactly. I like the idea of it too. It's a good visual and very Frank Miller.
And there are some good one-liners in this movie or in this trailer that make it look like they could have injected a little bit more light humor, especially from Aquaman's standpoint, where he's up on the roof and he's like, bat in a suit. I dig it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to go see it just like Brian.
Me too. Jason Momoa is a visual badass. Mm-hmm. He's not a great actor. So I'm real curious how this is going to go. Because he's
the less Aquaman talks, the better.
Yeah, like Khal Drogo, dude. You don't have him say much. You just have him kind of grunt in the corner, and then you're in because he's like, oh, he's huge and scary and awesome, and that's what we need. We need him to be short on the words, or else we're gonna find out that he doesn't act very well, and that's fine. Don't get me wrong. I think that's true of Arnold and a million other classic action heroes. They were never great actors. They may have improved over time, but they were never great actors. They were just amazing presences, you know, right? And I think Momoa is that, for sure. And I just hope they get that right. I'm a little nervous about the Aquaman. But whatever, we're all going to see it. It's all going to be fine.
And I'm hoping, and if Wonder Woman is as good as it looks, and I feel like it could be as good as it looks, that'll really certainly help things.
Yeah, plus different director. Actually, that makes me slightly worried because a different director, different tone, will that work? You know what I mean? Like, will the Wonder Woman in this seem the same as, you know, will it be like Captain America was in Winter Soldier versus Captain America in Avengers 2? Those were like day and night, and I hated it. I hated the juxtaposition of those two performances that drove me nuts. Black Widow as well. So will they be able to bridge that deftly? I don't know. And you have this with comics, too. You'll read, like, the Scott Snyder run, right? And you'll go, oh, this is so good, this is so good. And then there'll be some JLA crossover where Batman's drawn differently and tonally totally different. It's that feeling of like, well, this isn't the same Batman. What are you guys doing?
Right, right.
So I guess we'll find out one way or the other. Batman doing his thing on a horse. Yeah. Star Wars will never end. Now, you can look at that one of two ways. That's either good or that's bad. But why do we think it'll never end? Is it because Disney said something?
Yeah, so Bob Iger was talking about his contract being renewed up till 2019, at which point he will exit Disney completely. But during this interview, he mentioned a lot of things about the upcoming Star Wars properties, including the fact that they will not have any CGI Carrie Fisher in Episode 9. But he says when Episode 9 releases, which I think is, 4 years from now, whatever that is, they have said that they are currently planning more Star Wars movies beyond that for at least the next 15 years.
Jeez Louise.
So if that ends at 2020, then you're looking at 2035.
Yeah. If it's good, right? That's the trick.
Exactly. Yeah. Keep it going. I'm fine with that.
I'm fine with it, too. But that's going to be hard. That's a hard challenge. 15 years of solid Star Wars, that's a tall order, man.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, they've had, I don't know how long Star Wars Rebels and the Star Wars Clone Wars has been on television. It's got to be at least 10 years now.
Yeah.
And that stuff is still going strong and doing really, really well. So, I mean, if they can keep that going in an animated form on television for 10 years and, 25 episodes a season, they might be able to make movies interesting for the next 20 years too.
Well, one of the annoying things here is it says in this interview, there are no plans to alter Star Wars Episode 8 to deal with the passing of Carrie Fisher, and she's not going to be represented in 9, is CGI anyway. what are you doing then? What's the story? Are you
just there's gonna probably going to be something.
Hand waving at the beginning of episode nine that explains where she is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you think they'll have her die in the character die or just have her go somewhere? What do you guys
I don't
think?
Know. That's a tough one. I mean, they did a whole movie without Luke Skywalker.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. I think
they'll figure out a way to make it, because it's going to be really somber if they say, oh, yeah, I can't believe Princess Leia died. Well, let's move on to the next thing we've got to do.
Yeah,
so they'll probably say, you know, the death of Han Solo just hit her so hard and she decided to go retire somewhere. And so we're going to leave her be or something like that.
Could be. He also says the Han Solo movie will follow the smuggler's life from 18 to 24. That's his age. Where he will meet Chewbacca and get control of the Millennium Falcon.
Oh, shocker!
So we'll see the game between he and Lando. Sabacc. Is that right?
Is that Lando's last name?
Oh yeah.
No.
That's the game.
I was like, I thought it was Calrissian. I'm like really confused.
That's his married name. Is Sabacc. Lando Sabacc.
He's looking so good.
My guess is in that movie we will figure out how he made the Kessel Run in under 12 parsecs.
Yeah.
Right. Oh yeah. They have to explain. It's gonna be just like the first 5 minutes of Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, where they explain every single thing that happened to Indiana Jones's life.
Yeah.
Yep. Exactly.
In one train ride.
Yeah.
Something that was announced that has a lot of fans upset is that we will find out how Han Solo got his name.
Oh, why are we upset about that?
Apparently his original name was Ham Duo, and he didn't like that very much.
Hold on, Ham Duo?
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, I thought you said Ham, like H-A-M.
Yeah, H-A-M. His name was Ham Duo. He didn't like it, so he changed it to Han Solo.
I got it.
End of story.
Nice. Your idea is the better idea. I hope that you go with that. That's awesome. Yeah, whatever. I'm excited about this movie, but also I know they're going to be a little coy with some things because that's what you do. And I wonder who Chewbacca is no longer played by what's his beak because he can't walk anymore.
Yeah, he's got bad knees. There was a lot of the new guy, and I forget what his name is, in the episode 7 running around. So it's going to be that guy again.
Yeah, I think that was like 7 was their chance to say, okay, come on in, wear the thing for all the sit down shots. And we'll do the action shots, but this is like their parting thing for him, right? Like, thank you for doing this. See you later. Kind of deal. Kenny Baker also. Didn't Kenny Baker get to do some stuff before
Baker,
he died?
Baker, I think, passed away recently. So
he did, but I think he got to do some stuff before he died, didn't he? I thought he did. Maybe I have that wrong. I may not remember.
No, there's another guy that they have inside there, which I guess we can argue about that, but I don't understand why you still have to put a person inside of R2-D2 when you have perfectly operational, you know, remote controlled devices that can do the exact same thing.
Yeah. And you know, CGI for your wide shots and things like that. And I don't know why you'd need it either for your close ups. Maybe they just feel like they want to adhere to the original practical effects or something. Who knows? All I know is if you're in that thing for a whole day shoot, hot farts, ooh, man. Hot farts.
Gotta have some proper ventilation in that thing.
Big time. Well, Stephen,
before we let you go, Stephen, what about the, did you see the reveal on Spider-Man Homecoming?
I did. There is a really cool one that, the full trailer comes out tomorrow.
Okay.
But, there is this really neat, teaser trailer that's out right now on Twitter and some other places where there's a little mechanical thing on Spider-Man's chest that may do something kind of interesting.
I love it. I love that, you know, we finally get some sort of connection to, and I'm going to say this and that's all I'm going to say about it, but the Spider Tracer.
Oh, yeah.
Spider Tracer.
Yes.
Hello, love. Cavalry's here. That kind of tracer?
No? That's exactly right. Yes.
Okay, great. One other thing I was going to mention, Power Rangers, real quick. That movie came out. It did not, the Disney deal killed it, but it's still second place.
Right.
I talked to somebody who I trust with these things who went and saw it, and he said it's awesome, and he hates the Power Rangers, and he loved the movie. He thought it was one of the most fun popcorn movies he's seen in years. What are you hearing from people? Good.
I'm hearing that it's fine, that it's a fine movie, and that it's going to be one of those that Saban Brands plans on having 5 sequels in the works already.
Oh my lord. And these are the actual Saban people who used to be so cheap they would barely pay for anything, right?
Yep.
Right. How did they do? Wow. Somebody talked
about
them
into... They made a crap of money off of toys and merchandising and licensing their stuff.
Yeah.
And that's how they've made their money. In fact, the main guy is getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame this month, I think.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Chips debuted at 7.7 in a paltry ninth place or something.
Is that one of your picks for the?
No, that's why I'm happy about Power Rangers, because Brian and I got Power Rangers. It's at 40 million, 40.5 is for its opening. It's not amazing, but it's okay.
It'll do 100 domestically.
Yeah. Beauty and the Beast, 88.4. Jeez, that same weekend.
It's going to put us in a nice early lead, though.
Yeah.
We'll see how long it lasts.
Yeah. What else came out? Anything else come out? Nope. Smurfs Lost Village. Ooh, that thing's got a 40% rating. That's not going to do well, I hope.
Yeah.
Because we didn't get... No, did we get Smurfs? We didn't get Smurfs.
We did not get Smurfs, no.
Okay. Yeah, none of these coming up are us. Mm-hmm. Whatever. I feel good about our chances. F everybody. This is great.
That's a way to approach it.
That's one way to look at it. Steven Schleicher at majorspoilers.com, majorspoilers on Twitter. Anything else people should be looking for on the site?
Well, if you are down in Mexico, look for Steven's Taco Trucks, where this week, if you use the secret word, I will drop an extra rat turd in your taco.
Oh my gosh, dude. Bonus. Wow. Are you guys glad you tuned in today? I am.
Triple double rat turd supreme is what that one is.
Sounds really good. Steven, have a great week, and we'll see you later. Have fun at your workout. Bye. All right, Brian, a couple of emails real quick to close us out today.
Okay.
These come to us at themorningstream@gmail.com. We got one from Kevin. It's a real short message. It says, hi, Scott. Kevin. Says, oh, yeah, hi, Kevin. Hi, Scott. I'm a local. Means I guess he's in Salt Lake. And I think I met your electric car guy. I work at a local restaurant, and a guy matching your description of him left me a 50-cent tip the other night. Small world, cheap dude, Kevin. So if this was the guy...
Because you haven't really given a description.
Well, sort of bearded, kind of fat, short.
Yeah. I mean, come on. I mean, that's, you know.
That's a lot of guys, though.
You haven't given a description that I think would make people have the ability to say, oh, my God, that's the guy. Right.
I wonder if he combined that minimal description with the fact that maybe the guy drove off in an electric or something. That might have been it, but he didn't say anything.
Yeah, yeah, right.
If that's the case, if that was him, I'm happy to know that he's also super cheap and only gave you 50 cents. I'm sure you were a fine waiter. He's just cheap. Final one. This actually came from our Slack, from Yoder. Yoder in the Slack.
Yoder.
Says, dry or dead, need to dry stuff at a laundromat. Do I play Monster Hunter on my 3DS or read a book on the Kindle? Yoder. Well, Yoder. By the way, this used to be a term of endearment for a friend of mine when we were younger. I'd call him Yoder all the time.
Oh, really?
Just a nickname, yeah.
Nice.
Brian, what would you do?
I'd take the 3DS. Sorry, I'm video game. Video game, just time passes by so quickly.
I'd probably do the book, funny enough. I love video games, but I don't know. It depends on what book I'm reading. If I'm really into a book, that time will fly if I'm reading the book. So
yeah, that's true. That's a thing, too.
Yeah.
What book? We know it's Monster Hunter.
Yeah, what book? He didn't say what book, did he? Read if you're reading one of the Expanse novels, that'll go fast. You'll rip right through that. So, but also 3DS, that's fine too. Nintendo announced that at E3 they're going to have both Switch and 3DS titles to announce. So they're still pushing that 3DS despite the Switch being out, which is interesting. Anyway, check that out in June, I guess, or July, whenever that is. It's going to do it for us. Thank you all for being here. Big thanks to everybody who supports us at our Patreon. That person on Slack, Yoder, the reason he got there and is in the Slack is because he supports the show via Patreon. You get added to our big Slack when you do that over at patreon.com/TMS. If it doesn't happen right away, you can send a public tweet to SalesGeekery on Twitter, and he'll make sure you get in. Show streamed every day live at alphageekradio.com. You can also find us at frogpants.com/TMS. That's going to do it for us. Brian, should we leave? We should leave.
Yes, should leave, but we should give him something, right? Like some sort of going away present, sure. Audio going away present, you think?
I'm down with that. What do you got for
me? All right. I have music. I have something going out to Heather J. Says, high speed and briskness. When I first saw the movie 13 Going on 30 way back in 2004, I was merely 17 and about to enter my senior year of high school. The thought of my 30th birthday seemed like something in the far-flung future. But suddenly it's here. What the heck? Where did time go? I'm so excited to be entering a new decade, and what better way to do so than a song provided by the cover master himself. So I dedicate this to my fellow tricenarians and eldest of the millennials, We Rock, signed Heather J.
Sounds good.
Well written, Heather J. Love it. Yeah. She wants any cover of a song from the 13 Going on 30 soundtrack. I had to go back and look and see what was on that soundtrack. It's a bunch of 80s songs, right? I mean, you've got your Tainted Love by Soft Cell, which in and of itself is a cover. You've got Billy Idol. You've got, you know, your basic typical romantics and stuff like that. Well, you've also got the Go-Go's Head Over Heels, and that's the one I decided to go with. Back in 2004, Natalia Seco recorded a self-titled debut album. On there, she included a cover of Head Over Heels by the Go-Go's. We're going to play it for you now. Here's Natalia Seco and her version of Head Over Heels.
Here it is. We'll be back tomorrow. Normal stuff. So come on back then, and we'll see you then. Thanks, everybody. Bye.
So fast the way it ended. Here we go.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.